This is the Alpaca Podcast for all things alpaca. If you're an owner, a soon-to-be owner, a want-to-be owner, or are just alpaca mad or love the fleece, welcome to the Alpaca Tribe. I'm Steve Hetherington. Steve here, and welcome to the podcast for alpaca people. Great to see you again. So today's a pretty quiet morning, not much air movement, promise of higher temperatures. The birds are busy, the insects, they're busy too. The alpacas, they're waiting. They think it's breakfast time, which it is. And the other things that are going on, again, pretty quiet in the valley at the moment. We've got the geese. I was down feeding the girls yesterday and suddenly heard the whoosh, kind of whistly sound of wings coming in. They have air brakes or something, I guess it's equivalent. And it was the swans coming back in. I think they know that I do a podcast. And they like to be mentioned, please. So they keep turning up, or they keep leaving, or whatever. So they keep getting mentioned in the podcast. They can't possibly, can they? Can they? No, I don't think so. the family, whoa. Lots of colour in the youngsters now. They move and you go, oh, is that an adult or is that... Oh, no, it's still a gosling. And I'm not sure what a gosling is, or how long a gosling lasts. Before they become a fledgling. They've flapped their wings a bit. They haven't really kind of had a go at flying yet. Seeing some big feathers around, so they're obviously going through the molting stage. The adults do that. They lose their flight feathers, so they have to kind of grow through again as the youngsters are growing theirs. So they can't leave. The adults can't go off and fly off and leave the babies behind, which is interesting, I think. Lots of interesting parental stuff going on with the geese. The other day it was really funny. The five youngsters had got off the car park and got into the water, and they were scolded by the adults, by the parents, who made them get out again. Well, they then took them back into the water. All seven of them went back into the water. But it was just a funny kind of, hey, I didn't say you could go in the water yet. It's really, really funny. So there's lots of little things that they do that they all build, those little steps of learning and teaching and stuff. It's like that with the alpacas as well. And it's more us that's getting trained. I think it's a lot more subtle, the stuff that goes on with the alpacas and the interaction between mother and crea, and exactly what is being taught, what is being communicated. And there are individuality things in there as well. Some of the things that are just so typical of Amelia, for example, and how she behaves. And Millie, when she was with us, how she used to behave with her youngsters. And the things that she would do is lots of, go away from him, come away, told you not to talk to strangers. She always wanted to be moving her baby a bit further away from me, please. In the early stages, when they're first born, then they're around and the mums are hungry and ready to feed, to create milk. The babies are waiting for milk and they just stand around. So that's an opportunity to get in and take hold of them. But they catch on pretty quick that if they're in the wrong place and too close to you, that they will get grabbed. So we need to kind of build that confidence in us. Familiarity with being touched and handled and the rest of it, but also that sense of you're safe to be around, you're not a grabbing thing, but there are occasions when you need to, I don't know, and there's the newborns, and if they need a coat, and I always work on the basis of if you can't catch them to put a coat on, they probably don't need a coat. They do get to be growing so quickly, but just a little bit of support at the right time makes all the difference. So again, with the adults, what's the extra bit of support that some of your alpacas might need? Is it a little bit of extra food? Is it a bit of extra, I don't know, a bit of protection in some way can make a difference. So first thing is to notice these things, of course, isn't it? What do we notice? What do we see? What are we being drawn to? What's our attention being taken by? And then what does that mean? What's the significance of it? Does it have an importance? Is it because of this? I'm seeing that because this is wrong, or this happened, or so it could be behavior, it could be a health thing, could be something you just notice, a sound or a movement or something different that stands out in contrast to the norm. And you have to understand what the norm is, so you have to be watching them all the time. That's my excuse. I need to know what normal is, so I spend a lot of time watching my alpacas, so I know what normal is. It's a good story, isn't it? It's also true. So watching for the normal, understanding there is something I'm seeing, and then thinking, well, what is the cause of that? What's the reason for that? What's the explanation here? What does that mean? And then the third question, of course, is what do you do about it? Is there something I need to do? Do I just file that away for future reference? Next feeding, I'll check and see what's happening there. Or is there something I need to intervene with now? Is it a take action now? So with all these mouths, with the geese and the swans less so, they don't seem to eat the grass, but ducks to some extent as well. There's a bit of competition. And then the weeds grow up. A lot of nettles that are shot up and looking very proud. I'm giving them a wide berth. Give you my long trousers on. But the grazing at this time of year is interesting. We're not really having any rain. The level in the water in the lake is going down. And that is... you just can't do anything about it. It's what it is. It's happening. And there's those things that, you know, are indicative of this time of year, but perhaps a little bit sooner or a bit more extreme. Certainly it's a warmer day today. We've got a dip in temperature tomorrow, but it comes and goes, doesn't it? Varies. But are the alpacas okay? Have they got enough water? And when it gets hot, they tend to climb in the water buckets. Mine do anyway. So it's always good to be checking, make sure that it's clean water. I was once told, I think I was told, that they would rather go thirsty than eat, than drink, rather, dirty water. It's just not true. Not for my girls, anyway. They'll drink from a puddle. When somebody's been paddling in the water and it's really muddy and scummy, stuff floating on the surface, I don't think they're going to be inclined to drink that. So it's a question of just keeping on top of those things. It's helpful for some of them to be able to paddle and to cool down. And it's helpful, definitely, to make sure that there's clean water available. So keep that topped up. We had a little power cut. And because of where we are, the water has to be pushed up the valley to where we are with electric pump. It doesn't work when the power goes out. There's a power cut in the area, generally, not just us. So the water pressure was down. It still had some pressure, so I managed to top it up, but it came back later, which is fine. And usually it's certainly less than an hour, but it's usually 10 minutes, half an hour at most for most of these power cuts. There's something trips out and they fix it really quickly. So impressed with the service that we have. And aware that a lot of places don't have that kind of stability and provision. So, very grateful. So, yeah, keeping the water topped up. Have they got enough? Is it clean? And are they keeping cool? A lot more biting flies around. You can see from the behaviour that they're kind of moving away. Staying in the shade. There's a lot more staying in the stable at the moment. And I've rejigged things in there so they've got more space. That seems to be helpful. And yeah, so there's little things that we need to keep an eye on, keep awareness of. What am I noticing? What does it mean? What do I do about it? And that takes time. Time to resolve those things, time to notice those things, and being willing to keep that sort of presence, really. Having presence with your alpacas. I do enjoy being around them. And there are times when I see things that I wouldn't if I didn't slow down and spend time there. So just an encouragement. I think I've overladen that one for this week, but you know what I'm saying. So there's other stuff going on. I can see lots of flowers reaching their sort of fruiting stage. They're going to be going to seed. So some of those are pretty, but they're not in the right place. Some weeds, some things that we don't really want to be around because they're going to be cumulatively, they're poisonous. We don't want them around, so some of those need harvesting. And there's other bits and pieces. Yeah, notice the ragwort is flowering now in places. We've got a lot of buttercups, really tall ones. And then in the midst of that, you also get slightly different. If you look carefully, you start to see they stand out slightly differently. But they're yellow, and the ragwort in amongst the buttercups, you can't always see them. So you just need to be aware of those things as well. So what can we do that's just going to nudge things in the right direction today? Just encourage you, have a look, have a think, and pull a few weeds, and tidy a few things, tighten a few things. Make a note that fence post isn't very strong anymore and needs replacing at some point. And just keep an eye on, I can see the stress, the heat stress on the trees in front of me here. That's obviously, we're moving into that time of year. Feels a bit early, but it's going to be a hot summer, I think. So today's a warm day and a still day. The wind picks up a little bit and changes direction, and we get a cooler day tomorrow. So work with what you've got and do what you can with what you've got. Always a good plan. And keep spending time with your alpacas. Go spend some time and breathe. Take care now. Bye for now.
This is the Alpaca Tribe, and I'm Steve Hetherington. Have a great day.